this meeting will come to order. Please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Since you've taken my seat here.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell.
Here.
Mr. Cardian.
Here.
Ms. Diller. Ms. Hartley Neagle.
Here.
Mr. Hollins. Ms. Kilpatrick, Mr. Powers,
here.
Mr. Sheldon,
here.
Mr. Smiley,
here.
Mr. Street, Mr. Tackett.
Sorry, I was taking my heart medication. I'm here.
Mr. Wine,
here.
Mr. Woods,
here.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 present.
Thank you. Is there a motion to correct or amend the minutes of March 13th, 2018?
Motion to approve is submitted.
Second.
All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Is there any announcements from members of council regarding legislation? First, Mr. Bell, and then Mr. Smiley.
Thank you, Madam President. Under ordinances, ordinance 17-095, and 17-096 will remain tabled this evening.
Can you repeat those numbers one more time? 005?
Yep. Ordinance 17-095 and 17-096 will remain tabled.
Thank you. Mr. Smiley?
At the appropriate time, I'll be making a motion to lift Resolution 18-036 from the table for council consideration, and Ordinance 17-070 will remain tabled.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there any other comments or questions from council? Moving on, introduction of ordinances. All ordinances shall be considered at the next regular council meeting, with the exception of those items that require board or commission recommendations. Madam Clerk, please read in the introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 18020, to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 40, also known as the Unified Development Code, or UDC, regarding Article 1, Title and Applicability, Article 3, Use Regulations, Article 10, Environmental Standards, Article 12, Sewer and Water Impact, Article 20, Subdivision Land Development Design Principles, Article 22, Drainage Utilities, Septic Systems, Parking, Loading, and Lighting, Article 27, Maintenance Organizations, Open Space, and Common Facilities, Article 31, Procedures and Administration, Article 33, Definitions, Appendix 1, Application and Plan Requirements, and Appendix 2, Fees. Ordinance 18021. To amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 40, also known as the Unified Development Code, or UDC, regarding Article 3 Use Regulations, Article 4 District Intensity and Bulk Standards, Article 5 Site Capacity and Concurrency Calculations, Article 7 Transfer Development Rights and Other Incentives and Bonuses, Article 10 Environmental Standards, Article 20 Subdivision and Land Development Design Principles, Article 21 Improvement and Design Standards, Article 22 Drainage Utilities, Septic Systems, Parking, Loading, and Lighting, Article 23, Landscaping, Trees, and Erosion, Article 33, Definitions, and Appendix 3, Plant Lists. Ordinance 18022, amend the grants budget, appropriate $116,300 in funding from West End Neighborhood House to the City Foundation Pathway to Progress Summer Youth Employment Program grant to be administered by the Department of Community Services as a subgrantee. Ordinance 18023, amend the grants budget, appropriate an additional $67,500 in federal funds from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to the Delaware Emergency Management Agency, DEMA, under the Department of Safety and Homeland Security, and state funding of $19,875 from the Delaware Department of Transportation, DELDOT. Transfer funding of $2,625 from the existing Newcastle County Office of Emergency Management, OEM, match grant to the Bayview Beach Elevation Project Grant.
Next, reports from select and special committees. May I please have the reports from Boards and Commissions Subcommittee? Ms. Canceled. Personnel Subcommittee, Mr. Sheldon.
Point of information. Boards and Commissions did meet
meeting last week. Yes. At the Boards and Subcommissions meeting last week, we reviewed one appointment to the Ethics Commission that is on the agenda tonight. We had an update on the assessment legislation and a report or an initial report on compensation of boards and commissions in basically analogous counties, thanks to Councilman Weiner and Mr. Hinkle.
Thank you. The Personnel Subcommittee, Mr. Sheldon?
Yes, we had a Personnel Subcommittee last Tuesday. We talked about a new aide that's going to be hired by Mr. Smalley, and we also talked about a vacancy that will appear in the deputy clerk's position, and we elaborated on that.
Okay, next, Land Use Committee, Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes, last Land Use Committee, we talked about adding a driveway and renaming it, and we had we talked about amending Newcastle County Code Chapter 40 regarding transfer of development rights and other incentives and bonuses regarding traditional neighborhood housing program, and we had a draft annexation law that we talked about.
Thank you. The Finance Committee, Mr. Smiley?
Yes, Finance Committee met at 1:30 today in the 8th floor conference room. We discussed things on this evening's agenda. We had a very enlightening presentation on the county processes and procedures for property assessment. And requests for review of those said assessments. And we reviewed and approved several grant applications.
Thank you. Next, the consent calendar. Any member of the council or the public may remove an item from the consent calendar for further discussion by simple request. If an item is not removed, it will not be subject to amendment, discussion, or other objection, and will be voted upon as a package. Consent calendar items are noted on the agendas as such and available in the back of this room and online. Is there anyone from council or the public who wishes to have an item removed at this time? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 18050, congratulating Mabel Hicks on her 85th birthday.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardian?
Yes.
Ms. Zara?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes.
Yes, Ms. Dillon.
May I just add a note about the Community Services Committee, do an update on that we did review one ordinance, and also we reviewed the vacant housing initiatives that will include two pieces of legislation that will come over on for introduction on April 10th. I just wanted to get that for the good of the order.
Thank you, Ms. Dillon. And the consent calendar has been passed. Does any member of council wish to make a presentation? Seeing none, moving on to consideration of resolutions removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. Anyone wishing to speak on the subject of any resolutions or ordinances, please come forward and line up at the far right side, sign in your name and affiliation. After the particular resolution or ordinance you wish to speak on is introduced and I open the floor to the public, please approach the podium one at a time, state your name for the record, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Remain at the podium after you speak for any possible questions from council. Next, we have R18051. Ms. Kilpatrick?
Thank you. I move that R18051 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 18051, to relocate the entrance of 1934 Graves Road to a private driveway that will exit to Raphael Road and be renamed 1 Hochin Lane. Ms. Kilpatrick?
Thank you. Yes, we talked about this in the Land Use Committee. Basically, where this house is located, its driveway now comes through an adjoining property. The fire company nor the post office like the fact that the drive is not onto the street on which the house fronts, and the only way it could have an address on that road is if it would be 2.5, and they do not like half numbers, so they are creating this private drive, renaming it, and then they will have the address on that driveway. They will be number 1 on Houchin Lane.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R18051. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. R19051 is passed. Next, R18036 is lifted.
Now, I move that R18036 be lifted from the table and placed before council for consideration and adoption.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any against? No. Next, R18036.
You have to read it in and vote it.
I'm asking you to read it in. R18036.
Resolution 18036, consenting to the appointment of Kelly Petrick to the Newcastle County Ethics Commission.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments?
As per title.
I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R18036. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. R18036 is passed. Moving on to ordinances. 018016, Mr. Woods?
Yes, I'd like to have 18016 read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 18016, to provide for the installation of traditionary streetlights in the Woodcrest Estate subdivision located in Christiana 100 and for a light tax based on the cost of streetlights.
Mr. Woods?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 018016. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollings?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. 018016 is passed. Next, 018017, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Ordinance 18-017 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 18017, amend the grants budget, appropriate federal grant award of $224,012 from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security through the Delaware Emergency Management Agency, DEMA, under the Department of Safety and Homeland Security to the Newcastle County Federal Fiscal Year 2016 Homeland Security Grant Program.
Mr. Bell?
As per title.
Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up the floor to the public. Hearing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 018017.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. 018017 is passed. Next, 018018. Mr. Hollins? Well, Ms. Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I move that 18018 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 18018 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 14, Finance and Taxation, Article 6, Exemption from Real Property Taxation, to waive durational residency requirements for disability property tax exemption applicants who have sustained a service-connected total and permanent disability. Ms. Kilpatrick?
Thank you. Yes, we had a discussion on this upstairs this afternoon, and basically what this does is it takes away the residency. It gives a residency exemption for any service member that has a 100% disability.
Okay. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? Mr. Cordier.
I want to commend Councilmember Kilpatrick's effort on behalf of our disabled veterans, and I would request that be added as a co-sponsor if that's acceptable to her.
It is. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? And I also ask Ms. Kilpatrick to be a co-sponsor.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 018018. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. 018018 is passed. Next, 018019. Mr. Powers.
I'll take it. Madam Chair, I've moved that ordinance 18-019 be read in by title only for its consideration and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 18019 to amend Newcastle County Code, Chapter 12, Drainage, Article 6, Stormwater Management Facility and Water Course Maintenance, regarding general stormwater management facility maintenance.
Madam Chair, we talked about this upstairs. This ordinance amends Chapter 12, which is Drainage Code, to adopt the State of Delaware's Sediment and Stormwater Project, Program Technical Document that's been updated as the new standards and guidelines, and we're just following suit for the maintenance of stormwater maintenance facilities.
Thank you. Does anyone from council have questions or comments? And this one also, Mr. Sheldon, I'm asking to be added as a co-sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
I'll open the floor to the public for comment. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on 018-019. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 13 yes. Thank you. 018-019 is passed. Next, substitute number 1 to 017-094. Mr. Hollins?
Thank you, Madam President. I move that substitute number 1 to ordinance number 17-094 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Substitute number 1 to ordinance 17-094 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 40, also known as the Unified Development Code or UDC, Article 7, Transfer of Development Rights and Other Incentives and Bonuses regarding the Traditional Neighborhood Housing Program. Mr. Hollins?
Thank you, Madam President. We did have a discussion last week in the Land Use Committee regarding this amendment to the MPDU legislation. As council members know, the MPDU legislation replaced workforce housing a couple of years ago, and under the new guidelines, we've gotten two different applications so far as the housing market is beginning to come back. One of those applications is on Valley Road and Councilwoman Kilpatrick District. The other one is Cavaliers, which is a major redevelopment in Councilman Woods District. And we were approached, we meaning myself, and I included land use and community services as part of the discussions to talk about the expressed concerns that some of the applicants had regarding the hardship in today's market, to actually go forward with the program as it was written. After hearing the many different challenges that were presented to us, we did, us meaning again land use and community services, we did accept a few of those, and they are reflected in this amendment. It is a substitute simply because one of the things that was in the original pieces of legislation, the original ordinance, I should say, would have required that the contribution to the trust fund be increased by 100% from $12 per 1,000 to $24 per 1,000. Eventually, that was eliminated. Personally, I didn't feel that we could justify that at this time. Right now, we have about $1.5 million in the housing trust fund. That money is there to help the very low-income populations, such as, in my opinion, homeless veterans, reentry clients, as well as Councilman Diller mentioned, perhaps even seniors who are on a waiting list to get home repairs done. So, as the market continues to come back, the housing trust fund is going to continue to grow. What this amendment represents are some changes that we agreed upon. They're not all the changes that we were asked to do, but they do represent changes that we did agree upon. And we did increase the requirement from 65%, from 60% of AMI to 70% of AMI for half of the MPDUs, and from 70% to 80% of AMI. So essentially what it does, it allows for the price points to move up slightly in both of those categories. With the MPD legislation, where there is a 20% requirement for MPDUs, 50% of that 20% has to be at a price point of 70%, and 50% of that 20% has to be at the 90%. So that's one of the changes we made. The other change is that it would allow for half of the MPDU set aside to be rental units. If you can recall, well, you weren't here, but the old legislation had no limitations on rentals. This would at least allow for 50% of the MPDUs to be rental. Let's see if I make sure I'm covering everything that we agreed to do here. I think those are the primary things that this amendment is allowing to happen. And I have done a lot of research, not just because of this amendment, but throughout all of our discussions, my aide and I, on affordable housing programs throughout the country. And what I talked about last week, I won't bore council members here tonight with all of that, but we have looked at a study that was done that actually sort of analyzed over 1,380 affordable housing programs across the country. And having looked at that study, it's clear to me that in Newcastle County, we have a very progressive affordable housing program. I think we can stack it up against any other that I've seen in this study and other studies. And I can also tell you that the whole idea of affordable housing and even workforce housing, obviously it's not new to Newcastle County. And one of the studies that we looked at is in Chappaqua, New York, where the Clintons now reside. They even have a workforce housing program there, and apparently it's working. And the thing I find strange about that is that when we had a workforce housing program here, how it was demonized in Newcastle County, but across the country you're seeing that it's very necessary to have more affordability for our workforce. But when I look at what's going on in some of the other jurisdictions, how they achieve the inclusionary zoning or the affordability is how we used to achieve it with the old workforce housing legislation. That was by providing for density bonuses and so forth. And as council members know now, with the MPDU legislation, there is no density bonus. So one of the things that the communities pushed back on was all the additional density that was part of the workforce housing program. That is no longer there, and what we're getting now is the same amount of density that you would get otherwise in a rezoning. The only difference now is that you are required to have a 20% set aside. And if you have five housing types, such as what is going on at the Cavaliers Country Club, then you are allowed to have 15% of MPDUs. And I think that pretty much covers it. There may be some other things that I missed. I don't think I did, but I think the council members who was there last week pretty much got the full scheme of what was going on, including the presentation from land use that was presented at the planning board hearing where Councilman Smiley and I both were part of that hearing. At least we attended.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from members of council? I have one quick one. Mr. Hollins, how similar is this to the other workforce housing legislation across the country? They're certainly not all the same. So is this similar to or different from or similar to most or a few?
Well, most jurisdictions, they have a density bonus. That's how they achieve the workforce housing, is by giving developers extra density. That's how we started out here in Newcastle County. We don't do that anymore. That's an improvement, I think, that was more amenable to the people who live in Newcastle County. Then there's a fee structure in a lot of jurisdictions. In some jurisdictions, there's a combination of fee as well as density. We don't do density, and we have both. Well, you're going to have the affordabilities without the bonus of a density, and you're also contributing to the housing trust fund. As I mentioned, a trust fund that now sits at around $1.5 million or greater. And I'll read you one of the reasons why, personally, I don't think that the fee structure really accomplishes what affordable housing is meant to accomplish, and this is part of this one of the studies that I read from done by Thadden and Wang, and they're saying proponents of developer fees often argue that collecting fees can generate a higher volume of affordable housing than requiring some small percentage to be located in new construction. But one of the original goals of inclusionary housing policies was to reduce concentrated poverty and create more equitable access to high-performing public schools, parks, and other public amenities. According to Thadding and Wang, minimizing fee options may be an effective shift to promote affordable housing in asset-rich areas. They also note that there's been a shift away from the developer fee model since 2006. In other words, when you're talking about affordable housing, you want affordable housing to be in areas where everybody else want to live, not just in areas that are considered undesirable. So with what we have in Newcastle County, with the inclusionary zoning, without the giving away any density bonus, it's just an ideal situation. The other thing that we have in Newcastle County, when we're at 15% and 20%, most jurisdictions are between 11% and 15%. So when I say that we have a really good program, I say it because if you look at where we are, you only allow 15% in Newcastle County if you're building five housing types. Everybody else is 20%. And in Newcastle County, we're not giving away any density bonus. So when you compare Newcastle County to most jurisdictions in the country, that's why I say we have a very good program. To answer your question, we're not giving away any density, and we also have a combination of the fee as well, and the housing trust fund, which this is moderate price dwelling houses. It's not low income housing. So the contribution to the trust fund is to assist the population that is considered low income.
Right. Even though I wasn't elected yet, I did attend all the meetings, and I remember it being very contentious. And one of the things I noted, it was not low income. It was, what was the average house sold? It was $260,000.
Well, under the workforce housing program, you could actually build a house for $389,000 because it was 120% of AMI. So with this new program, it's more reasonably priced for Newcastle County at 90% of AMI and 70% of AMI. So we're far away from that 120% of AMI that we had before that was not affordable to anybody. I mean, if you, it was the houses that you would buy on the program were higher than what you could buy on the market. So the program just couldn't work in this jurisdiction. I doubt if any jurisdiction at 120% of AMI. It's not affordable.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other? No. Okay. Mr. Bell, Mrs. Smiley, and then Mr. Powers.
Madam President, just a clarification. I guess just a little bit confused with some of the initial information being presented. You had mentioned a couple districts and a couple developments in particular. How does that relate to this? What are the specific problems, I guess, that they're encountering?
Under the new legislation, the MPDU legislation, we've only had two applications since we adopted the new legislation. Now, of course, there are applications that have worked their way through on the workforce housing, which is no longer an option. But these particular two, I just mentioned those because it's the only two that we've had to come through the new legislation. And some of the people in the development community, not just on these two applications, have expressed concerns about trying to meet the requirements of the new legislation would create some hardship for them. So when we looked at all of these suggestions and ideas that we had, we tried to offer some incentives. Because, in my opinion, we're not building the houses as a government, and we have to work with the people that are actually providing the product. And it seemed to me to be reasonable, because when they talked about the hardships, what I realized is that we came from 120% of AMI with the workforce housing program down to 65% of AMI. That's quite a drop in how much, the type of houses that the cost of the house that we're going to finally built. So I figured we had some room there to move that a little bit, including with the cost of construction since we adopted the legislation to begin with. So I thought there was some reasonable movement there, and what they're talking about primarily, they expressed concerns about trying to meet the market conditions, and I know that there's actually some other concerns that are out there. I'm just not willing to try to address those at this time. I know that it's kind of early to offer any kind of a change to the legislation. But if you consider the location that I mentioned on Valley Road in Hokesson, which is traditionally a high rent district, but of those 55 homes, 11 of those are required to be affordable. And that's what's going to happen if the developer go forward. And then we look at Cavaliers. That's over 600 homes, but it's five different housing types. So in that instance, we're allowing for, if you're going to build five housing types, then you're only required to do 15% of MPDUs. So we try to basically make some adjustments to make the program more appealing in hopes that people would, take advantage of it. So I'm expecting, but we made it clear when we met with the development community that we're not going to continue to change the legislation just because, someone else got a different kind of a problem. So it's a wholesale look at it. And it's the first time we had a chance to really look at it as it's being applied, because these are the first two. They just happen to be the first two to come through under MPDUs.
But Madam President, they were successful in those developments, the application, or no?
Well, the houses are being, they haven't been built yet.
Okay.
So what they're looking at is their numbers, and when we did the study for the new legislation, when Eileen Forgetty was here as general manager and we had the consultants, we looked at all of that as well, of the economies of building the MPDUs, and could the developer still make a living with the new legislation at those price points. So all of that was part of the study of the economy. And what happened with the MPDU, the study was more specific to New Castle County. Workforce housing legislation was more regional, and we were pretty much thrown in with Philadelphia, which was a whole different, it was not fair to people who, working class people here in New Castle County, to be thrown in with Philadelphia and New Jersey. So this particular piece of legislation, that's why the price points came down from 120% of AMI down to 90 and 70 now. It was 60 and 80. So what the developers are saying, well, if you ask us to build a house at that price point, it's going to be very challenging to do that. So that's one of the primary things we did, was move it up to let you go up to 80, I mean up to 70 and up to 90. Because there has to be a split of the 20% of the MPDUs, half of them have to be at a certain price point and half of them at another price point.
I'll just end with this at this point. I said, I'm still a little confused on it from the standpoint that I would think that we would want a program that's consistent across the county. And even if you have five different home types, if folks are going to build them, why would we restrict people from not being eligible to live in the type of home that they want to if they qualify under the program? It sort of sounds to me as though we're incentivizing this thing a little bit too much for the developer. I don't know.
Well, five housing types, you still have to spread the MPDUs across every type. So if you got five housing types, it doesn't mean that you're going to put all the MPDUs in one housing type.
Okay.
They have to be spread across the entire different types of housing that you're having. Now, if you were to look, and I understand your point clearly, that, you know, we may be incentivizing developers too much, but I think to try to balance it, when you look at what's going on across the country in terms of where we are with the percentage that we require, and we also are not giving up any density whatsoever, unlike the workforce housing legislation, where we actually, after the developer got a rezoning, we still gave them an extra 40% additional density, and only part of that had to be workforce housing. So at where we are now, there is no additional density. If you get a rezoning that allows you to build whatever MPDUs per acre, not MPDUs, but whatever dwelling units per acre, that's all you get. So with this new legislation, it doesn't give a developer any additional. Now, when we had the workforce housing legislation, I think your point would be more fitting, because then we're giving up a whole lot. We're not doing that anymore. So whatever you get, after you get your rezoning, that's when this policy comes into play. It doesn't come into play to determine if you get a rezoning or not, but after you get the rezoning, then you're required to include this 20% for most part. The other thing is that you very rarely are you going to see five housing types in development in Newcastle County. When you see a development like what's going on at Cavaliers with over 600 dwelling units, that's when you're going to get into that many housing types. But I definitely get your point.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Smiley.
I never raised my hand.
Okay. Mr. Powers.
It's on. What's the price points of these subdivisions? And what, you're saying one in each of these types, what are we talking price?
I would have to do a guesstimate. I would say, and I'm going to ask Landis to come and help me, but I would say that at 90% of AMI, you're probably talking about a house that's going to sell for around $260,000. And the lower price point would probably be somewhere around $230,000, something like that. Unlike with workforce housing, where the higher price point was close to $400,000. So it's a more affordable product than what we had before.
I'm just wondering, if these are the two subdivisions, why are they going through this way, for one thing? And, you're saying five different types. Is that single-family homes, duplexes, apartments, and townhouses? Which sounds like a lot of subdivisions in Bills of Mud District that have workforce housing.
Mr. Hines?
I know the development at Cavaliers has five different housing types. I'm not familiar with how many housing types are typical, but to me, in my estimation, I don't think that's the norm to have five. I know it's not the norm to have over 600 units being built, but again, I think land use is trying to help me with.
In the meantime, Ms. Kilpatrick, and then back to Mr. Powers.
I just wanted to clarify the one on Valley Road. That has been approved through this county. We had, it's 55? How many homes, John? 70? I think there's 70, someplace between 50 and 70 homes. It's been a while. And they have two different types, and they are in the program because they went for a rezoning. We had public meetings. We went through GATA. We had the group with Valley Brook, which is behind them. We had workshops with them. And, in fact, the people from Valley Brook, when we passed this, came in and said what a nice process that it was to go through. So it's not that anybody from the community complained about this. I think he was only mentioning it because it was actually the first one in the county to fall under this program, because it's the first one that went for rezoning for over 25 homes. So okay, there's nothing wrong with the project, and it hasn't even broken ground yet.
And now back to Mr. Powers, and Mr. Hollins was answering his question after consulting the land use.
Yeah, the difficulty is to answering Councilman Powers' question is because as you look at AMI, it changes from your family composition. So, and generally, HUD normally uses as a base point family of four. So if it were a family of four at the 75% of AMI, you can earn up to $62,390 annually, and the price point would be around $260,000. And if you were at the 90% at a family of four, the price point would be closer to $300,000 for the home. But if your family composition was different, then that means that the amount of money you can make obviously becomes different. For larger families, you obviously could qualify at earning more money, and earning less money, and for a single person, the whole thing just changes altogether. So when you're looking at AMI, you have to look at a whole chart and look at the family composition as well.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Mr. Powers?
Yeah, I do know the Valley Room. They're still growing mushrooms there.
No more.
What, they emptied them out? I went by there 2 days ago. No, but they're still growing in the houses. They might have emptied them out in the past. And they're probably emptying them as they go. I went by there 2 days ago. But and how many acres is on that piece? 20-some?
Ms. Kilpatrick?
I don't know. Sean, do you remember?
I'd say about 25.
25. So you're looking at 3 DUs per acre without ST zoning. So I can see why the developer wants to do that, and it's interesting.
If there's no other comments, yes, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. Just in the overall, with the MPDU program, it is triggered by rezoning from a residential zoning, say S to ST, correct,
yes. Mr. Holland? Yes. Yes.
So they have to go through that process, and then I'm reading in the ordinance where they're proposing 25 or more dwelling units.
That's right.
So you've just modified the requirements.
MPDU requirement does not come before the rezoning. It's not even a part of the rezoning. But every developer knows that if I'm going to go to Newcastle County Government for a rezoning and it's going to be more than 25 dwelling units, this particular ordinance is going to come into play after the rezoning takes place. So the rezoning is not a condition of this. This comes after the rezoning. It's part of the package if you get a rezoning.
Mr. Powers and then Ms. Kilpatrick.
So why are we changing it?
Changing.
We're changing this after we voted on what was originally there for the MPUs.
Well, Ms. Kilpatrick, what do you want to answer, or Mr. Hollins?
Well, the trigger being a rezoning and the...
I can't hear.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Into the mic so Mr. Bell can hear.
Sorry.
Thank you.
The trigger...
A little over.
The trigger being rezoning and the 25 units, that has not changed. That was in our original MPDU legislation that we passed. So that's not changing in this at all, correct?
No.
That's not changing.
No.
I think Councilman Powers... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. That was my whole point. That's nothing new. That's just from the old...
I think Councilman Powers' question is, why are we changing it at all at this point? And in the ordinance itself, it says that we're changing it, and what I said earlier, it's because of the concerns that were raised by the development community, and they were saying that it's challenging to reach those price points at that level of inclusion, and that's why we looked at the ordinance with land use and with community services to make certain from a land use perspective that the numbers made sense, that we could make these changes, and from community services being very much want to see affordability. I mean, so we had both managers there in the room to be a part of these meetings from the land use standpoint to see what was reasonable and from the affordability standpoint so we don't lose the objective of still having affordability.
Thank you, Ms. Kilpatrick.
In my district, I also had the first workforce housing development, and in some of the cases, the developers could not build the houses to go under the workforce ordinance or the MPDU for the price that they were going to have to sell them at. So the other houses in the development then were being jacked up so that they would make up the money, and in the workforce housing, I don't think that they've ever sold one unit in that community. They're all rentals. So I think there was a problem. I mean, yes, they're developers, but they're also business people. So why would anybody build in this county if they couldn't sell the product for what it costs them to build it?
Is there any other yes, Mr. Bell?
Yeah, just one comment. You know, we've had several presentations on the workforce housing and the various developments and statistics about, you know, where they're built and how successful they are. And I've made this comment several times that it amazes me that we have a development like High Hook, okay, on Vance Neck Road, that is extremely successful, okay, very successful. And there's other developments that don't seem to be as successful. And I kind of question, maybe from a marketing standpoint or a developer interest standpoint, as to why they're not as successful. So, I mean, you know, this is a little bit more complex sometimes in my mind, because I think we've tried to accomplish things to make housing affordable. And how can it work in, you know, a couple developments very successfully, and, you know, yet, you know, you got folks saying that they can't make it work in other areas. So I just don't know. Still a little confused on it.
Yes. Are there any other comments from council members? Mr. Hines.
No, I think Councilman Bell raised a very valid point. Workforce housing, as we learn, and I would be the first to admit, it was not a good program. Now, why it's not working in certain areas versus other, I don't know if it has to do with marketing, but I know that down at the development at Bayberry, it seems to be a success, and they're still continuing to build. And even at Bayberry, a number of those units are rental units. We had a situation up in Councilman Cartier's district where it's not a part of the traditional workforce housing, but there was a workforce housing agreement, and certain iterations happened there to make certain that that product was a success. So as the agreement was first crafted, and it changed hands, and no one was able to seemingly make it work. After we went through some iterations and some adjustments, and I think now it's a very thriving, successful product from all indications I can see. But at one time, it took some time to get that product moving, and there was a lot of discussions between land use, negotiated with Councilman Weiner at one point, then moved over to Councilman Cartier. It was a long history. So now the idea for me is to try to, if we can identify a legitimate, genuine concern, to try to amend it or adjust it so that the program would be successful. So that's my only interest, is trying to make certain that we have a successful affordable housing program. And as I mentioned earlier, with the housing trust fund that we had, and I mentioned $1.5 million, but as housing begins to come back, this is just the second, we only got two applications, and you still have Bayberry paying into the housing trust fund. At one point, almost all of the money in the housing trust fund was only coming from Bayberry, because that was the only housing being built in Newcastle County for a few years. So now we're at a place where the housing market is coming back, so we can incentivize developers to want to take advantage of it, because developers can still build without getting a rezoning. Let's not kid ourselves. But if you build in Newcastle County under the S zoning, it's not desirable for developers, but at the same time, you're going to have an acre and a half just to build one house. So what that does to farmland preservation and costs and everything else is just completely unheard of. So I think you see rezonings coming forward, because everybody knows that's not practical. And as we talk about as council members ourselves, we need to have more zoning categories so that you don't have to make this leap every time you do a rezoning. But we don't have that. So we have a lot of issues with our zoning categories, but if we want to preserve land, if we want to make certain that folk can afford to live in this county, we have to make certain kinds of adjustments. And if we want to get some support for that, then we got to incentivize people to work with us.
Yeah, I just was hearing some of the things and seeing some of the same things Mr. Bell was, issues he raised with the rentals. And my concern is you have to make some other changes, fundamental changes, rather than trying to shoehorn something in. You know,
there's
not
a lot of changes we need to make. I mean, this is not the be-all, end-all for certain. I mean, we tried workforce housing. It didn't work. If you look at the UDC, ever since it was implemented, we've been trying to fix it. So we will probably try to fix it till everybody's careers here are over. So when the UDC was adopted, by far, it wasn't a perfect document. So if you look at our overall housing strategy, when we did the accessory dwelling units, I mean, when we passed accessory dwelling units, the folk that came into this chamber to tell us how it was going to be the end of this county as we know it. And just last year, we had to increase the opportunities for accessory dwelling units. So it's just the reality of times changing, and we got to be flexible enough as a government to keep up with the times. For God's sake, inclusionary zoning was not invented here in Newcastle County by a long shot. So you look at what's going on in other jurisdictions that I was encouraging anyone to do. This is just a shot at 1,379 different jurisdictions with affordable housing programs. And this is not all of them. So this is not some brand new idea by a long shot. So we're doing what I see as a one of the best programs, I believe, with everything I've read in the country, is right here in Newcastle County.
Thank you. Mr. Powers?
I just want to know, how's this falling apart? Farmland preservation?
No, it doesn't. The question was the necessity of this, and I'm saying that it's not just this. This is not the be-all, end-all. When you look at preservation, my comment was when you look at S zoning, where you got to have acre, and I think it's 0.67 units per acre in an S zoned category. I mean, how do you sustain that? So developers are almost compelled to come for a rezoning. But this program has nothing to do with the rezoning. It's only after the rezoning is achieved that this program comes into play. I'm going to yield to land use because I've said pretty much all.
Before land use, is there any other questions or comments from council?
Someone from the development community.
We'll get to that. Next, I'll open up the floor to the public for comment. Is there anyone No? Okay. I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on substitute number 1 to 017094. Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Doerr?
Yes.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel? No. Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
No.
Mr. Sheldon?
No.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
Madam President, the roll reveals 9 yes, 4 no. Substitute number 1 to 017094 is passed. Next, 017095 is tabled. 017096 is tabled. 017070, Mr. Smiley, tabled. Next, there are no time-sensitive congratulatory honorary resolutions. Does anyone from the public wish to address council? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, meeting is adjourned.